everyone tonight. I am thankful for the sermon request that I receive, and tonight's sermon is a requested one. Before I get into the lesson, though, I have been doing kind of a survey asking people, what do you think of when you look at this tie? And I have been getting a variety of answers. The number one answer people have been giving me is a candy cane, followed by a barbershop pole. But then I've also been told everything from the Cat in the Hat, and the strangest answer has even been, where is Waldo? And so I've gotten just about everything, but that's interesting to hear. Tonight is a requested sermon. We're going to talk about different kinds of sins. When I heard this topic, it made me think of an illustration that I heard years ago, the story of three preachers. They lived near each other, and they traveled together to attend a lectureship. In order to save money, they decided that they were going to share a hotel room. And so one evening, they returned back to the room, and they were discussing the lectures from that day. And one of the lectures was on the topic, confessing your sins. And so one preacher said to the others, why don't we confess our secret sins to one another? And so they did. And the first preacher said, I have a problem with gambling. And the second preacher said, I have a problem with drinking. And the third preacher said, I have a problem with gossip, and boy, I can't wait to get home. Well, different types of sin. Let's go to the next slide, if you would. The Catholic Church classifies sin into two main categories, what they define as mortal and venial sins. A mortal sin they refer to as a sin that will cause spiritual death. They say mortal sins will exclude people from the kingdom of heaven. That is, it will cause you to go to hell. They would put in this category murder, rape, incest. These are the most serious sins. A venial sin, those are sins that can be forgiven. They can either have punishment here on this earth, or else you die and you go to purgatory and it's burned off and then you can be forgiven. They would put in this category things such as white lies. And so mortal sins, very serious, eternal consequences. Venial sins, not so serious and can be taken care of. Venial sins, they say, hurt your fellowship with God, while mortal sins separate us from God. Now, the problem with this distinction is it is completely made up. There is nothing like this in the Bible. Biblically speaking, there are really only two categories of sin that I can think of, and we're going to study them tonight. We're going to take the lesson tonight from Psalm chapter 19, verses 12 through 14. Let's go to the next slide, and we're going to read this together. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 12, David writes, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Now, I want you to notice in this particular section, David describes two different types of sins. Now, you know, there is one sense in which all sins are the same. Let's go to the next slide. Sometimes I hear people say, a sin is a sin, all sins are the same in the eyes of God. And there's a sense in which that is true. All sins are a transgression of the law of God, 1 John 3 and verse 4. All sins can cause a man to lose his soul, Romans 3:23. James chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." What that means is you only have to break one of God's laws to be guilty of being a lawbreaker. You break one law and your soul is destined for hell because you are now a sinner. So in that sense, all sins are the same. Let's go to the next slide. But there is another sense in which sins are different. The Bible talks about some sins as being greater or more serious than other sins. I've got a few verses listed here. Exodus 32 and verse 21, after Moses comes down from the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments, and he comes to the base of the mountain and they're worshiping the golden calf, Moses says to Aaron, "What did this people do unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?" That is, worshiping this idol, it is a great sin. That is, it has risen to a level beyond some others. 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 8, David said to God, "I have sinned greatly because I have done this." 2 Kings 17 and verse 21 says that Jeroboam made Israel to sin a great sin against the Lord. And so there is a sense in which God looks at some sins and He views them more seriously than He does other sins. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to Him." That is to say, some sins are particularly offensive. They are extra repulsive in the eyes of God. Now, we are not to take away from that some sins are consequential and others are not, that some sins are black and some sins are white, some sins will cause you to be damned and some sins will not, because that is not the case. All sins will lead to eternal damnation. And so, in the sense that any sin unrepented of will cause a man not to go to heaven, there's no such thing as a small sin. You know, there is no such thing as a small grain of sand in the mechanism of a watch. And a tiny spark can cause a great forest fire. A microscopic bacteria can kill the whole body. A little hole in a boat can sink the whole vessel. And so, in that sense, no sin is greater than another. But in the eyes of God, He does view sins differently. Now, David gives us two categories of sin, and we're going to study them tonight. They're in Psalm 19. In the King James, they are labeled as secret sins and presumptuous sins. Let's go to the next slide. First, let's talk about the secret sins. In Psalm 19 and verse 12, David says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." Now, when he says secret, I think what we think of is nobody knows about it. You know, keep a secret. That's not what he means here. He doesn't mean nobody else knows about it. Now, there are secret sins in the Bible. There are sins that I try to hide from everybody else. Sins that you sneak around to engage in. Maybe nobody knows it but me. Maybe they're sins of my heart, sins of my mind. Maybe it's evil desires and evil thoughts. You know, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "It is a shame to speak of those things that are done in secret." But that's not the type of secret sins he's talking about in Psalm 19:12. In fact, when David committed his sin with Bathsheba, you know, he worked very hard to keep it a secret. That is, no one would know about it. But that's not the meaning here. This Hebrew word for secret is a Hebrew word that means hidden. And in this text, it refers to sins that are hidden from the individual. In other words, I didn't realize it was a sin. We more commonly refer to it as sins of ignorance. In the English Standard, in the ESV, it says, "Declare me innocent from my hidden faults." In fact, another modern translation even puts it this way, and this is a good translation, "Forgive me when I sin without knowing it." That's what he's talking about here. If you were to look at this verse and you think about what David has in mind, he makes it very clear at the beginning of the verse when he says in 12, he says, "Who can understand his errors?" In other words, what he's saying is, sometimes I sin and I don't even have an understanding of what I've done. It is beyond my understanding. It is hidden from me. It is a secret. It is a sin of ignorance. Now, the Bible has examples of this type of sin. I think the classic example is the Apostle Paul. You remember before he became a Christian, he was out persecuting the religion of God, that is Christianity. And yet, in Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, the Bible says he did it in good conscience. Why? He says because he did it ignorantly. He thought that he was doing right, but he was sinning, though he did it ignorantly. Now, why is this one so important? I think it is because oftentimes people think this way. They think, well, as long as I'm doing what is right in my heart, As long as I'm sincere about what I'm doing, God will accept that and He will save me anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible does not bear that out. We need to understand that sins of ignorance are still sins and we will still be punished for them. I want you to listen to this from Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 2. This is the law of Moses, but listen what it said. If a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or an unclean cattle or an unclean creeping thing, and it be hidden from him, that is, he doesn't know it, he shall be clean and he shall be unclean and guilty. Though he was ignorant, he's still guilty. Listen to the New Testament. Luke chapter 12 gives a parable about some servants who knew their master's will and some who did not know their master's will. But none of them did it. Those who knew it, ignored it. And those who didn't know it, of course, they didn't obey it because they didn't know it. But Luke 12, 48 tells us this. He that knew not his master's will, that is, he was ignorant of it, and did commit things worthy of stripes, he shall be beaten with few stripes. That is to say, though he was ignorant, he was still accountable and he was still punished. Now, the point of the few stripes relates to the degree of punishment. That is, the Lord is saying in his ignorance, his punishment wasn't as severe as those who knowingly chose to do it. You know, I've occasionally met people who have the thinking that they can limit their knowledge of God's Word because the less they know, the less they will be accountable for. Because they understand that the Bible teaches that with opportunity comes responsibility and thus accountability. And so some folks have thought, well, if I remain ignorant, then I thus limit my accountability. But you know, that is not right. Because though I may be ignorant of the Word of God, I am still going to be accountable to God for my sins. That's the reason I want to study. That's the reason I want to grow, so that I won't commit sins of ignorance for which I'm going to be accountable. You know, because of ignorance, the fact that it's not going to be an excuse, in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, Hosea said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they rejected knowledge, I will reject them." What was he saying? They're destroyed because of their ignorance. Acts 17 and verse 30, the New Testament says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." That is, there was a time in the Old Testament in which God overlooked some things relating to ignorance. He said, "Such is not the case anymore." And David recognizes something in this passage that we need to recognize, and that is, though some of my sins may be secret sins, that is, sins of ignorance, he still needs to be cleansed of them. Listen to what he says. He prayed, "Lord, cleanse thou me from my secret faults." That is, "Lord, I know sometimes I do sin and I don't even know it. Please forgive me for that. Please don't hold me accountable. Make me be forgiven." All right, let's go to the next point here. How do I deal with sins of ignorance? Well, the first thing that I need to do is I need to understand that I am accountable for sins of ignorance. Because until I recognize that fact, I'm never going to do anything about it. If I don't think I'm accountable, I'm not concerned. I don't address it. Secondly, I need to study, I need to grow, and I need to make myself aware of the law of God so that I can guard myself against sins of ignorance. Thirdly, as a child of God, I need to do the same thing that David did, and that is I need to pray on quite a regular basis for forgiveness. Brethren, all of us commit sins of ignorance sometimes. When a man becomes a child of God, he doesn't automatically, immediately know everything that he needs to know to avoid transgressing the will of God. And so 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness." What does that mean? As I'm walking in the light, I have the continual cleansing of God. Verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness." Let me put this in modern day language, or in the way we might say this. When a person becomes a Christian, the very first day he comes out of the baptistry, he doesn't know everything he needs to know as a child of God. Is he going to commit sin that he doesn't even know is sin? Of course he is. Is God going to hold him accountable for all of those things immediately? There has to be some amount of grace that comes from walking in the light. What about after 2 days? Is he going to know everything that there is to know in the law of God? He's not going to. What about after 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years? Don't you understand that as the time passes, his degree of accountability is going to grow in the eyes of God? But you see, we have to continue to grow. And we're told that as we keep walking in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us so that if we are doing our best to be faithful Christians, we can remain innocent. We confess our sins. As soon as I know about a sin in my life, I'm going to confess it. I'm going to ask God for forgiveness. And something that I do on a regular basis is the same thing David did here, and that is I pray, Lord, please forgive me of sins of ignorance. Why would a Christian do that? Because he wants to be right with God. Sin plagues his heart. When he knows he sins, he's sorry about it. And he doesn't even want to transgress God's will when he doesn't know about it because it pricks his heart. He wants to do right in the sight of God. Now, let's go to the next slide here. First, David talks about sins of ignorance, and then he talks about presumptuous sins. Look at verse 13. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Now, the word presumptuous means overstepping due bounds or taking liberties. The word presumptuous appears one time in the New Testament in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, and the word means bold or daring. Now, what does that mean? Presumptuous is the opposite of a sin of ignorance. A sin of ignorance is when I don't know that God doesn't want me to do it, and so I did it by mistake. A presumptuous sin is when I knew good and well what God said, but I said, I'm going to do it anyway. In fact, Psalm 19 and verse 13 in another version says it this way, and keep me from deliberate wrongs. And that's what he's talking about, high-handed sin. It is sin when I commit it and I knew it was sin. And the Bible indicates God finds this type of sin particularly offensive. It's because I know it's wrong, but in essence, I shake my fist in the face of God and say, I'm going to do what I want to do. That's why in the end of the verse, it refers to this as the great transgression. David says, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins, end of the verse, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Now, a good example of presumptuous sin would be King Solomon. I want you to listen to this in 1 Kings chapter 11, what the Bible says about him. 1 Kings 11:9 says, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the God of Israel, listen, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not which the Lord had commanded. You see what that says? The Lord appeared to Solomon and said, don't go after other gods. The Lord appeared to him again and said, Solomon, don't go after other gods. And Solomon did it anyway. And the Bible says God was angry with him. God warned him 2 times, and he did it anyway. And the Scripture tells us that God will deal more harshly with presumptuous, high-handed sin. Now again, remember Luke chapter 12, the servants who knew the master's will versus the servants who did not know the master's will. Those who did not know were beaten with few stripes. But listen to verse 47. Those who knew better and did it anyway, verse 47 says, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. That is, God is going to deal more severely with the one who knew better and engaged in sin anyway. Listen to this, Numbers chapter 15, beginning in verse 27. The Bible says, if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both he that is born among the children of Israel, and the stranger who sojourns among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, that is, the one who does it on purpose, whether he be born of the land or a stranger, the same reproaches God, and that soul shall be cut off from amongst his people. Why? Listen to verse 31. Because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. You see what he's saying? When a person knows the law of God and willingly says, I don't care, I'm going to do it anyway, the Bible says he has despised the law of God. Let me see if I can illustrate it this way. Let's say that you own some land and it is largely woods, but you don't want anyone hunting on your land. But your land maybe runs right up against somebody else's land. And let's say that there is a man who is hunting and he unknowingly wanders onto your land. And you see this man, and you go up to him, and you explain that this is your land, and you don't allow hunting, and he apologizes, and he explains that he was not aware, he was ignorant of that fact, and he leaves. How do you feel about that? You would think, I didn't want him doing it, I'm not happy about it, but he didn't know, he left. Let's say that later, another man comes onto your property, but by now, you have put up a fence. And you have put up a sign that says, no hunting, no trespassing. But let's say the man comes and he sees your sign and he tears it down and he throws it on the ground and he climbs over your fence, or maybe he cuts through the fence, breaks through the fence. How do you feel about that man? You feel differently? How about if you're dealing with your children and your son is doing something and you go to him and say, son, you should not be doing that. And he says, Dad, I didn't know. And you say, well, okay. And he says, I would not have done it had I known. And you say, okay, don't do it again. Let's say that later you come back and he's doing it again. And you say, son, I warned you. And he said, I don't care. I just wanted to do it. Do you feel differently about those two things? Do you see how the Lord views these things differently? A sin of ignorance versus a presumptuous sin. The law of Moses teaches us to engage in a presumptuous sin is to despise the law of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that is a strong accusation. One more thing very quickly. It's going to be a short lesson tonight. One more thing from Psalm 19, and it is this. The fact that God can tell the difference in these two types of sin tells me that He knows my heart. You know, what man knows the difference if I committed a sin of ignorance or if I committed a presumptuous sin? Man doesn't know unless he's told me, unless I'm aware of that fact. He doesn't know what's in my heart, but God does. Psalm 90 and verse 8 tells us, all of our iniquities, our sins, are set before Him, and our secret sins are exposed in the light of His countenance. That is, the secret sins, the sins of ignorance, and those secret sins that nobody else knows about. I think not another soul in the world is aware of it. But God knows, because He knows my heart. Maybe you're here tonight, and you've been living in sin. The Bible tells us that there is a day of reckoning coming, and Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 14 says this, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. This is secret in the sense that I've kept it hidden from everybody else. It's a secret, but on the day of judgment, it won't be a secret anymore because God will deal with it openly. And the wages of that sin is eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The way we receive the gift of God, the way we accept that gift, is by obeying the gospel, hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Maybe tonight you're here and you want to become a Christian. We stand ready to assist you. Maybe you are here as a child of God and you have sin in your life that is public and you want to take care of it and you desire your brethren to go to God and pray on your behalf. We would count it a great honor to do that. Tonight, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing the invitation song.